from sunny St. Leonard's on the south coast of the UK. This is the Keto Woman Podcast, brought to you by me, Daisy Brackenhall. Hello, keto lovelies, and welcome to episode number 195, where I am joined by returning extraordinary women, Dan and Erica. You will have heard me mention them several times, and you might even remember their first episode, which was way back in the early days of Keto Women. Dan and Erica are vloggers and bloggers and recipe creators, and you can find them at havebutterwilltravel.com and under the same name on all the social media platforms. If you know them already, you will love them every bit as much as I do. But if you don't, you're in for a treat. They are joining me this week for the first of one of the new formats about delicious things to eat in this, the first of the new Keto Foodie Favorites episodes. This week, we're talking about mince. That's ground beef, if you're American, and I'm not sure what it's called elsewhere. I've always known it as mince. And apparently Australians know it as mince too. If you're anything like me, you grew up eating it. And spaghetti bolognese was actually the first recipe my mother taught me to make. I'd like to take a brief moment to give a great big thank you shout out to all my patrons who support this podcast with a monthly financial pledge. I couldn't do it without you. Our newest patron and member of the Facebook group Daisy's Lovelies is Sarah. So thank you very much, Sarah. It really means the world to me to have your support. And thank you for listening. Thank you for being patient with me during my not-so-brief hiatus and repeat after repeat. I'm really enjoying getting back into recording new episodes. And it's quite exciting to be doing some new formats. But you'll have to let me know what you think. Which ones do you like? Which ones do you not like so much? Maybe there are some things that you'd like to hear about. Let me know. You know by now where to find me. Summer has finally come back to St. Leonard's and the sun is shining. We had torrential rain at the beginning of the week, which as usual led to the red flags going up on the beach because of potential pollution from southern water. I was already pretty grumpy after not being able to go the day before because of the torrential downpour and thunder and lightning, none of which are conducive to being in the water, really. So I made the decision to go in anyway. The water was beautiful. It was crystal clear and calm and flat as a mill pond. And thankfully, there were no tummy upsets. So maybe there was some pollution in there, but it didn't impact me, thankfully. The hotter weather after all the rain does seem to have brought out the flies, though, which torment poor old Rocket. I don't know what's happened in the past. I can only assume that he had to deal with horrible bites from horse flies or something because he is terrified of them. He dives under the bed and he even tried hiding under the brick barbecue in the park. He was back to his old anxious and shy self with his tail between his legs. It was very sad to see and very frustrating for me because there's nothing really I can do about it other than create little hidey holes for him. So he likes to hide under the bed, which has blankets hanging all around. So it's nice and contained. And I do the same thing with his cage. And he just has to ride it out and hide in there. But poor old boy. Like I say, it's so sad and frustrating to see, but I'm not sure what else I can do. No sign of the builder this week, but his wife has given birth to their latest child, so I think I'll have to let him off. Many congratulations to them. Luckily, it didn't arrive during the football final like he was worried about. So that's all my news. I hope you're well wherever you are. I hope you have the most wonderful weekend. And head into next week, refreshed and happy. So until I see you, or hear you, or I guess rather speak to you next week, I hope you enjoy this new foodie episode. And until I'm tickling your earbuds again, take very good care. Welcome, Dan and Erica. We have a two-for-one today to the Keto Women Podcast. How are you both doing today?
We're really good. How are you, Daisy?
I'm good. It's good to be recording again. It's been a while, so I'm a bit rusty.
And we'll probably talk over each other, but that's just how we roll. So we apologize in advance, everybody.
That's okay. We'll make it work. I have a good editor. Well, as people might know, we've had some ideas about some new episodes, shake things up a bit, and this is one of those. This is a new foodie episode. So I'm going to be talking to foodie people like you two, food bloggers, people who like playing around with ingredients. We're flexible on the format, mm-hmm. but this is one of those short format shows where we're talking about something like your favorite ingredient or maybe an ingredient that you think every keto pantry should have, something along those lines, and what you like to do with that, maybe a really easy dish to make and something more fancy. Mm-hmm. That's the sort of the rough outline for the show, but I'm going to hand it over to you. Takeaway, what is the ingredient you would like to talk about today?
Well, what we thought we would talk about is what we think is kind of like a staple around the world, very easily available. We're going with, we call it mince. I think some places call it minced beef. Some places call it ground beef.
Absolutely. But
if we're talking mince, like in Australia, we literally just say mince.
And it's beef. It's always yes. beef in Australia.
Yep, same here.
So that's what we thought we'd do. So we're just going to talk a bit about it and then the myriad of ways you can do it and then our top five recipes that we like to do using mince.
Nice. And of course, we'll share links to those so you'll be able to go and make them yourself afterwards.
Yes, definitely. So what do we love about mince, Dan?
Well, one of the things that is the best about beef mince, like Erica said, it's readily available in most places around the world and it is pretty budget friendly, definitely here in Australia. I'm not sure what it's like in the US and the UK, but I'm pretty sure it's one of the cheaper cuts of meat that you can buy in most places.
Mm-hmm. And the good thing about it from a keto perspective is, in Australia at least, generally the higher fat options are a bit cheaper because the kind of heart smart low fat option is the more expensive option. So if you go for a higher fat version, it's generally the cheaper option. And there are obviously different, you know, a variety of qualities available. Like we generally try and get grass-fed, but you know, there are more budget-friendly options which are great as well.
That's right. I tell you what I've noticed here, that the what you talk about, that fat percentage, the general standard seems to have changed. It's not so easy to get that higher, you know, that sort of 80-20 ratio. Mm-hmm. In France, actually, it was. And you were spot on. You tended to get, there was a 5, a 15, a 20%. And the cheapest was the 20%. And, you know, that's the one that I always bought. But I've noticed not quite so the same here in the UK. They're definitely favouring that. The lower fat options.
Yeah, definitely. It would be the same here as
it's
well.
It's still, leaner cuts of meat is still very, very popular here in Australia. Mm. So if you can find that 80-20, that is the best that you can get, in my opinion, because you want that slightly higher fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I always look for that. I'm always that person when I'm getting the bacon, I root around with the packets and find the ones with the most fat on. That's me.
I think also the great thing about it is it freezes really well, like either cooked yeah. or raw. We always, it's something we would always have in the freezer. So when we go to the farmer's market, we grab, they usually have two special, yeah. you know, you buy two. We have that in the freezer all the time and we know that that's, you know, there's a quick go-to meal there. And, yeah, freezes also cooked, it freezes really well. And it's very quick to cook and it's pretty hard to ruin it, whereas yeah. some other cuts of meat you can easily overcook, undercook, it's chewy or whatever. I mean, it's pretty hard to stuff up minced beef.
That's a really good point, that, because even if you overcook it, unless you actually burn it, you know, but you get those, sometimes I do that intentionally, depending yeah. on what I'm making, get those little crispy, yeah. crunchy bits are nice, aren't they?
Yeah. So I guess that was our kind of why we think it's awesome. It's readily available. It's budget friendly. It's quick and easy to cook. Mm. It keeps well. you know, you can't go wrong.
Very versatile.
It can also suit a lot of cuisines, like Asian, Italian, like American burger. Like there's such a scope. If you prefer Asian flavors, well, then you can make a stir fry or something with it. Like there's so much scope. Mm.
So we thought we'd quickly, we've got a list here of like all the different ways we thought you could cook meat. Dan's favourite would have to be burgers.
Yeah, I love burgers.
I could have them two or three times a week.
I did overdo burgers.
Oh, really?
I've started having them again. I'm, hands up, I'm a bit of a lazy cook and I quite often will just get into the routine of making the same thing every day. And that's what I did with burgers last year. And they were so delicious. And I ate them every day pretty much for about 3 months. And what happens is then I get sick of it and I can't eat it then for a long period of time, just about being able to start having them again. But they're great, aren't they? They're so, it's such a perfect keto thing to make.
Really,
and I'm
going
to link, there's a great video you have of Dan making burgers. So I'm going to make a note to link that.
And the good thing is, I think with them as well, depending on your mood, like I can just put salt and pepper in it and cook it and it's fine.
Yep.
Or you can go crazy and make them, you know, Tex-Mex, or you can do cheese stuffed, or you know, you can put whatever flavorings you like in them, and then your toppings. That's where Dan, that's where Dan really shines with the burger toppings.
No salad at all. Bacon, egg, cheese, or onion doesn't really count as salad. But yeah, no, like lettuce, tomato.
Yeah, you're speaking my language. Yeah.
So I guess some other things we could do, meatballs, you know, and that again can be any type of cuisine. You know, you can do curries or Asian style dishes or like ragus with meatballs. We have rissoles in Australia. I don't know if they have that in the US. It's kind of like a burger patty, but it usually has more in it, so more veggies
and
things.
Yeah, there'd be veggies.
It's almost like a fritter or something. We call it a rissole. Okay. So people would have rissoles with, you know, like a brown gravy. That would be a popular dish here, like a kind of Tuesday night standard that Mum would make.
Very 80s. Rissoles is very 80s in Australia, for sure.
But you could also do meatloaf, and then I've never had this, but very popular is a mizza with the mince as the pizza base.
Oh, yes, I've never made that either.
No. And then, like, you put your tomato sauce and your pepperoni and your cheese on top of your mince base.
So it's very popular. We've never done it, have we?
Yeah. So then you've got, I guess, pies, which is a very popular thing to have in Australia. So you could do, I think a cottage pie is with beef and a shepherd's pie is with lamb. Is that right?
That's it.
So, yeah, a cottage pie, but we just use cauliflower instead of potato on top. And then like a beef mince pie, which is, you know, that's the Australian classic food. You can just use fathead dough instead of like a pastry and pop your mince filling in there. Very popular.
Yeah, and ones like sang choy bao, lab, with the Asian flavors, that is also delicious. I love doing like a sang choy bao. That is.
Yeah, so you cook the mince up with Asian flavors and then have it in like a crispy lettuce cup. That's really delicious.
I was wondering. Yes, delicious. Yeah, I've done that more with chicken mince, actually. I haven't tried it with beef. That sounds delicious. Yes, I like that. So nice little parcels.
Yeah, and the crispy lettuce really makes it in those dishes. And then obviously a classic, this is another Australian staple weeknight dinner, is like a bolognese sauce or like a ragu, whatever you call it, but like a tomato-based sauce with mince and garlic and herbs. And then you can have that, you know, instead of your traditional pasta, you can have zoodles, so zucchini noodles. You could have, like we just have it sometimes with cauliflower mash.
Or even just on some steamed broccoli or something.
Yeah, or like there are lots of low-carb pasta alternatives here as well. I'm sure you have similar things in the UK made from like beans.
Yes, I tried one the other day, actually. Mm-hmm. It was from Aldi, I think. I spotted it as I was walking past. And it was a black soybean, mm-hmm. so not something that everyone would like, but it was mm-hmm. it was very low carb indeed. And actually, it was pretty good. I tried it. I quite liked it.
We have like an edamame one, a soybean one, and a black same sort of bean thing, kind of one.
Yeah, and they're, like, I wouldn't have them all the time, but when you have, like, if you really felt like pasta, it does kind of hit the spot more so than, like, a
Zoodles.
Or a cognac noodle. But yeah, alternatives. And then,
yeah, those konjac ones are a bit like eating rubber bands, aren't they?
I like they work well in Asian dishes.
Yeah,
they do.
Because they really absorb the flavors. Like if you put them in like a chow mein or like a pad thai or something, they work quite well. But they, I don't think they work well with a spaghetti.
It's a very different texture to pasta. Mm. So I think that's.
I have the only way I found it to work with a bolognese type dish is that I really, you know, boil them and rinse them, boil them and rinse them, and do it like a final boil with a chicken stock cube. Mm. And then I put it in the bolognese mix and then leave it overnight.
Uh-huh.
And then when you come to have it, it's, I found it's a lot better. Kind of it uses a bit of that rubber band feeling. But you're right, they work better with dishes that have those sort of glass rice noodles that have that similar texture. They work better with those, don't
they? For sure.
And of course you can make a bolognese into a lasagna type dish as well.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. And then probably one of our staples that we have regularly is taco mince. So like mince cooked with
Mexican
taco seasoning. Yeah. And then, you know, you can do whatever you like with that. You can have it in like lettuce cups. You could have it in cheese shell tacos. Have you ever made the little cheese shell tacos? Crunchy?
I haven't made them, but we ate them together, didn't we?
Oh, we did when we were in New York.
Those were delicious, weren't they?
But you can just make them in the microwave, nowhere near as nice as those ones we had in New York. But you can just put two slices of cheese. It needs to be like, we call it tasty cheese in Australia. I think it's called cheddar cheese everywhere else. And you just put it in the microwave till it kind of bubbles, and then you just shape it as soon as you bring it out, and then it will set in like 30 seconds quite quickly, and it's crispy.
Like one of those crunchy old El Paso kind of, you know, the crunchy taco shells.
Oh, nice. I'll have to try that. Yeah, sounds good.
Or even we have low-carb wraps that some people, you can buy them at the supermarket or you can make them. We make a really good one. Oh, from the
Nom Nom.
Yeah, Nom Nom. It's GNOM.com.
Mm-hmm.
They have a really awesome and easy kind of low-carb tortilla made with like coconut flour and almond flour, and you kind of fry it up in a pan. So you can make your own kind of soft tacos that way.
Nice.
How do you cook mince? Have we missed something?
I'm trying to think. No, I think you probably covered all the bases.
Okay. Well, we've written down our top five recipes of our favorite ways to cook mince. Do you want to start, Deb?
Yes. So some of these have already been mentioned in our ideas, but oven-baked meatballs, we do have quite a good recipe for that. Mm. It uses mozzarella
and pesto. So there's pesto in the meatballs, and then you drizzle some pesto on the top, and it's baked in a tomatoey sauce. They're really delicious. I really love a taco salad. Dan doesn't probably like it quite so
I'm
much
not big on the salad.
I like, you know, especially with rocket. I love rocket or arugula.
Oh, I do, yes, my favorite.
So I do like rocket, my mince, like my taco mince, and then some cheese, guacamole, and like a, you know, homemade tomato, fresh tomato salsa, guacamole. That's like perfect dinner for me.
Nice. Rocket stands up to a little bit of wilting as well, doesn't it?
Yeah,
so I think it's a good lettuce to use. Well, it's not a lettuce, is it? It's a good salad vegetable to use when you're putting hot stuff on it.
Mm-hmm. And the pepperiness. I love the pepperiness of it.
One of our others, Daisy, knows quite well because she had to cook it for us at Keto Fest.
Ah, this is a big favorite. Everyone who makes this loves it.
So it has chorizo in it and mince and obviously tomatoes and chipotle chilies. And it's really, you actually put butter in it at the end as well. And it's super rich and just really tasty.
It's one of those dishes that we would cook up a batch and put some in the freezer and we pull that out on a night where we can't be bothered and it feels like we've won the lottery.
And pro tip, if you do have leftover chili, just like put a little bit in the bottom of like a frying pan or a skillet and then cook an egg in it. That is delicious. Mm.
No, that's a great, it's one of those recipes. I think I saw a post on Facebook the other day. It's asking which recipes that you make often taste better the next day than they do when you first make them. And I think chili is one of those, isn't it? There's something about chilies, curries, all those kind of things like to sort of sit in their own juices, I guess. And the flavor develops. And some of them as well seem to develop again when they've been frozen. I've noticed that with a lot of curries. So yes, I can imagine your chili doing that. And like you say, I think it's one of those recipes that is worth sort of, I forget how much the recipe makes, but potentially worth doubling up so that you have some for the freezer as well.
Yeah, for sure. The fourth recipe that we had on our list was like a lasagna or bolognese. We actually have a lasagna recipe on our website and it uses the hearts of palm lasagna sheets.
I've never tried those.
Yeah, so they're available here in Australia. You can buy them online and yeah, it's just a vegetable. It's the heart of palm and it doesn't really have a lot of flavor, but it gives the texture of a pasta sheet. So that's really yummy.
And the last one we had was like a chow mein. It's very popular, called crack slaw in the US. Or egg roll in a bowl is also another quite popular term. They're all very similar in flavours. We like to use cabbage as the noodle. Like there's no need for noodles in it at all. We just use like a lot of cabbage and cook that down with some beef mince and some Asian flavours.
Nice.
So that's our top five recipes.
They all sound delicious. I have tried some of them already. I can't wait to try the rest. And they all sound pretty easy as well. I know you do have some more complicated recipes. I've tried your hot cross buns, for example. But I do, in general, I like quick and easy recipes. Sometimes, you know, when I've got a bit more time, I'll make something more complicated. But I like something that's easy and tasty.
Especially for like a dinner. Like you want it to be a dinner that you could cook really any night of the week. And most of those aren't going to take, probably the meatballs is going to take the longest. All of the others you can cook up reasonably quickly.
Yeah. And I think mince itself lends itself to that kind of quick and easy because it's not something you have to, you know, painstakingly slow cook to make sure it's tender or anything like that. So, yes, lots of easy, tasty, and I think very family friendly as well. Most kids like mince.
And so out of those, which is your favourite?
Ooh.
Of those five that I just said?
Or of everything?
Of those five that we just said, chili's my favourite. I always ask Erica to make the chili, even though I could probably make it myself. It's not that hard.
And of those, but mine was the taco salad, definitely. I love like the rocket and the mince and then all the toppings with my Mexican. What about you?
Well, I haven't tried them all. So from the sound, I really am intrigued with the pesto meatballs. That sounds really delicious. I like that pesto twist. But I think I might have to go for the chili. And it's reminded me, I'm going to look it up.
Fond memories. It has fond memories for us all.
And I have to say, the problem with it was a bit difficult to make it in the quantities. You forget that you can't just scale up recipes, recipe really, and you run into problems when you scale it up. So I don't think the way we made it on such a grand scale was quite as delicious as when you make it as you're supposed to with the recipe. So, yeah, I'm going to write myself a shopping list and make that again here so that I can taste it exactly how it's supposed to be.
Perfect. Hope you enjoy it.
I will, I'm sure. Now, I've just realised that I've kind of assumed that everybody knows you and where to find you. I just introduced you as Dan and Erica. I failed to mention your fabulous website and where people can find you. Have Butter Will Travel. So perhaps you could just give us a few details of where people can find you and find these recipes. We will put links in the show notes, but just tell us where we can find you and the other things you do.
So our brand is Have Butter Will Travel. So you can find our website by just Googling Have Butter Will Travel. There's loads of recipes on there now. Also, we have a YouTube channel. So there's lots of our recipes on our YouTube channel. And we also, do other things on our YouTube channel, like Vlog Our Day, Days of Eating. If you are Australian, you should definitely follow us on YouTube because we do a lot of Australian products and things like that.
And you can find us on all the usual social media places too if you want to follow along, Facebook, Instagram and whatnot.
And we also have been on Keto Woman before. I think we might have been episode 7. Daisy can check that.
Yes, I meant to look it up. You were right, back at the beginning.
I think we were 7, but I could be wrong.
I will look it up. Yes, I meant to before we started. What about the books? You haven't mentioned the books. Cookbooks.
We haven't.
So if people don't want to just, find one recipe at a time, and also there are recipes, of course, that they can't find online, but they can only find in the books.
Yes. So we do have a few ebooks now on that you can purchase. We have Everyday Keto Dinners. We have a dairy-free book. And then we also have a cocktail cookbook. So if you want some low-carb or sugar-free cocktails, we have a grazing platter book. What else do we have, Dan? Oh, we have all of the kind of dinner recipes off our blog compiled into a book so that you don't have to wade through all the blog. So there's lots of options if you're looking for delicious keto recipes.
And you can easily find that on the website. There's a cookbook section on the website. If you just click on that, you'll find them there.
They'll all be there. Fantastic. And they're great books.
Thank you.
I enjoy them. I'm a bit of a shocker with cookbooks. I buy them and I like to look at them. I rarely actually make the recipes.
They're good for ideas though as well. If you're not someone who follows a recipe to the T like Erica, I would follow it to a T, but you would still use it as an idea
as a jumping off point.
Yes, we are very, very alike. It's very rare that I follow a recipe completely because I have that inventive, creative streak myself. So I like, and I know what I like, of course. So I'll look at a recipe and, there are tweaks usually straight away that I want to make. That's just, I'm one of those annoying people. Well, some people find those kind of people annoying. We're very alike. We think the same way. Now, I am going to blindside you with this, although you should know it's coming. Dan's putting her head in her hands. As we're recording two episodes today, I will ask for one from each of you over the two episodes, so you don't have to both come up with one. Okay. As Dan was putting her head in her hands, I'm going to put Erica in the hot seat and ask you, Erica, for a top tip, please.
Okay. I guess just when we were talking about the mince and how it keeps really well and it freezes well cooked or raw, I would say definitely have your freezer somewhat stocked. So we always have raw, frozen mince beef in packets in our freezer, and I know I can grab that out in the morning and that, I can come up with a quick dinner that way. But we also have portions, a two serve portion of like bolognese sauce or chili or something like that. We always have some sort of make ahead dish like that frozen in the freezer that I can grab out at any point. And I think that saves us from those nights when you can't be bothered to cook, that it then turns into something that perhaps you don't want to eat or shouldn't be eating. So, I think having things in your freezer is a good way of keeping yourself kind of on track.
Yes, you effectively have a takeaway on tap that you can turn into a meal very, very quickly. Perfect.
And probably quicker than you could get takeaway, to be honest.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. It's been wonderful talking to you, and I hope people enjoy this new foodie format episode. If you've got questions, if you've got ideas, maybe some ingredients you'd like us to talk about, do let me know. But for now, until the next time we record, which is going to be very shortly, thank you very much, Dan and Erica. It has been a great pleasure, as always.
Thank you so much. It's been fun. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Daisy.
If you're still with me, hooray! Thank you for making it to the end of the episode. Until I've decided exactly what to put here at the end of the show, I'm just going to round off super quickly with this week's end quote. I had a look online for foodie quotes, and this one tickled me. It's from author unknown. You are what you eat, so don't be fast, cheap, easy, or fake. Bye-bye, keto lovies.